welcome back
to the One Where I Met Your Mother, a podcast about Friends and How I Met Your Mother. I'm David.
I'm Natalie.
And Natalie, how are you today?
Happy New Year. I'm okay.
Oh, yeah. Happy New Year.
Yeah. This is our first episode of
2022.
Yep. It's been something.
Well, yeah. And also today we de-holidayed our apartment. It's all regular now.
It's always sad, but it's, you know.
But it's also like a clean slate, fresh start.
We had a very cozy, quiet New Year's Eve.
Yeah, thanks to Omicron. We had plans, but we ended up canceling them.
Yep.
And staying home, watching the Hudsucker Proxy, which was kind of fun.
Yeah, that was fun. We've been doing a lot of staying home and watching stuff.
Which is a bummer, because like, I feel like I got through the last holiday season by being like, next year we'll be able to do all our stuff again. We were able to do some of our like fun, like
traditions,
but not all of them.
Yeah.
I just really hope that we're not dealing with COVID in Christmas 2022, but it feels like it's never going to end.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, what a bummer.
sorry to bring down the party.
But we now get to talk about what I think are two very good episodes of television.
I agree. Yes.
Friends season 2, episode 7, the one where Ross finds out, and How I Met Your Mother season 2, episode 7, Swarley. So we're going to start with Friends season 2, episode 7, the one where Ross finds out. We've got another non-perk opening. I should have like been keeping tallies. Like they almost never, I feel like early in season 1, they were always starting at the perk.
Right.
Now they almost never do anymore.
This was at Rachel and Monica's apartment.
Yeah, at the main hangout.
The main hang, yeah.
Yeah, Chandler's. I can't remember what's he upset about at first.
He went to a party.
Yeah.
And I guess he like didn't get, I don't know, some digits or like hit on someone.
Okay.
And he was feeling bad about himself.
And Phoebe says, "I go through the same thing whenever I put on weight."
Yeah.
So then it's like something about Chandler like having put on weight.
Yeah.
Fine. I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Not that I noticed. Because he's wearing, not to give away one of my like make it fashion things, he's wearing an enormously oversized cardigan in the opening scene. So I definitely didn't notice that he put on weight.
I don't think he did. I think it's just like if your friend said to you, like, oh, you put on a few pounds, like that's who would do that?
Yeah.
Like your friends don't call out your weight.
Yeah.
And if they do, they're not friends.
Yeah. Yeah. Friends in name only. Way to go, Phoebs.
Yeah.
Yeah, this isn't Phoebe's best showing this episode in many ways. But this is like this opening scene kind of sets up the B plot of Monica, because they at least acknowledge, because I talked about last week, they didn't even acknowledge that Monica lost her job.
Right.
But now they acknowledge Monica's still out of out of work, so she's decided to put her energy into getting Chandler back in shape. So she's, what was Lloyd Bridges on Seinfeld?
What was his name? Damn it, that's gonna bother me. Don't tell me once you find out.
Okay, yeah, no, I thought of it. I actually thought of it, but then I. Yeah.
Okay. Tell me the first letter.
Well, it's a three syllable, starts with an M, very Jewish sounding.
It's like, Mankiewicz.
No.
Menashe.
What, hold on, this is fun. We've heard that listeners like these, like, guessing game clues things, I think, so let us know if you like this.
Mandelbaum.
Okay. Mandelbaum. I was going to say the third syllable is what we just took down.
Mandelbaum.
the tree. So she's like his Mandelbaum.
Yeah.
She makes fun of his little, tight little bicycle shorts.
Yeah, she's body shaming him. They're all body shaming him.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think the bicycle shorts was less like body shaming.
It was more just like surprised her.
Yeah, I've never seen you in tight little shorts before.
But you're making someone feel self-conscious when you don't need to.
Yeah, but they're mean to each other.
They're mean to each other, yeah. There's honesty and then there's insulting.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then we get a workout montage, and then, okay. Unlike you with How I Met Your Mother, I've caught Friends here and there before.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I'd seen this whole episode before, but I definitely remember I would have been pretty young. The joke about if you do five more sit-ups, I'll flash you. And then mm-hmm. he does 2.5 and says, just show me one of them.
Yeah.
I definitely remember that stuck in my mind.
Stuck out to you.
So I definitely saw that at some point, probably because as a kid, you know, I was probably pubescent and horny or whatever. And now I don't think it's a good joke. It's kind of I don't know. It's a broad joke. I don't think that funny, but it definitely stuck in my memory as a horny pubescent boy. Yeah.
I want to see Courtney Cox.
It's just one. Yeah. I just want to see one.
One would be fine.
Yeah. It'd be enough. So then we finally get to the perk, and, I've been thinking about, I especially have been on vacation. I'm lucky enough that I have over 2 weeks off for the holidays.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at going back to work tomorrow, but it also means I'm going to go back to my workout regimen tomorrow.
Right.
And I've actually been thinking 2.5 weeks without working out. I wonder if I'm going to get sore when I work out.
Yeah.
Cause which kind of gets me excited. Cause I weirdly I like that soreness.
Yeah.
I like being sore from exercising. Yeah. If that's weird.
No, me too. Yeah. When I have a rigorous ab day, I like the next day when my abs ache or if I'm lifting weights, my arm, I don't like when my arms get shaky, but that was happening at Chandler.
Yeah. No, I like when my, if my thighs burn, next day I go to get something out, bend down to get something out of the fridge. And I'm ooh,
a glute burns. Day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Chandler couldn't even lift a coffee mug.
Yeah. But I was weirdly jealous. I was
that feeling.
I want to be sore from working out. Chandler's, sore. Phoebe's, this is the C plot of the episode, is that Phoebe's dating a guy who won't put out. She's hard up for for sex from this guy she's dating.
Yeah. He's moving too slow for her.
Yeah. And this is so it's not until I said I wouldn't go back to the beginning of this episode. I'm not going to break every episode down into A, B, and C plots, but it was kind of interesting that the B plot gets introduced first, then the C plot, and we finally get to the A plot here when Ross and Julie are making out outside.
Mm-hmm.
And Rachel's jealous, but she's trying to get over it, and she insists Ross can press her up against the window all she wants. For all I care, he can throw her through the dang thing, which I liked. Yeah. I liked that line.
Yeah.
And we find out that they're planning on, this is a terrible idea, Ross and Julie are planning on getting a cat.
Mm-hmm.
They don't live together.
Yeah.
They're going to make the cat go from apartment to apartment. Mm-hmm. Anyone who's had a cat would know that's a terrible idea.
You can do that with a dog, because I've known people to do that with a dog.
Because dogs get attached to people, cats get attached to places.
Yeah.
I remember once a long time ago on, I think it was on Mark Maron's podcast, Mark Maron joked, if we really loved our cats, we'd leave them behind when we moved.
Mm-hmm.
Because they'd rather just stay with the place mm-hmm. than with the person. That's a torture for that cat. Don't move a cat back and forth every couple weeks or whatever.
Yeah. But then why are cats always running away? Not ours, but
not ours.
Cats are often running away. So do they just not like their home sometimes?
Do cats? I don't know if cats often run away. I mean, a lot of people have outdoor cats because the cats know to come home.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Do you feel like there's a pandemic of cats running away?
I've heard it in the past. A cat ran away.
That said, my mom actually did have a cat that she got. So when I was a teenager, we got our cat. We adopted a stray cat, named him DJ Jazzy Jeff, Jazz for short.
Right.
And he was a total badass. I loved Jazz. And he was, especially in the warmer months, an outdoor cat. He'd just go out and be gone all day. And then he'd come back to sleep at the house and get let in. He'd often come back with a dead squirrel in his mouth or something. He was a total fucking killer.
Yeah.
A big cat, very muscular. And then after I moved, I guess after some of us kids started graduating, moving away, my mom, I guess to replace us, got another cat, a little orange cat named Simba. And Simba was very stupid, unfortunately. and always wanted to go out because Jazz went out, and Simba would be like, well, I want to go out too, but couldn't find. So eventually Simba did, like, after Jazz died and Simba was the only one, he like left and
never came back.
So hopefully someone adopted him, like we adopted Jazz, you know, hopefully it was okay for Simba.
Yeah.
But that is the only instance I have experienced
of cat someone running away.
Truly, like, because our friend, before you met her, our friend Mary, like, she lost her cat, like, one of her cats got out, and you just, like, because she had, like, a screen door, she was just, like, left the door open with the screen door closed and put some food, like, just inside the house, and within, like, 30, 40 minutes, the cat was, like, meowing at the door again.
Came back. Yeah.
Anyway, that was a long way to go, but
so yeah, bad idea.
It's a bad idea. Not a good thing to do to a cat.
And I think it's like, okay, the next step in their commitment to one another is, you know, getting a cat together. It's like before moving in together.
Yeah.
But it's irresponsible for sure.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know, maybe I
go on a trip together. Well, I guess
that's the
first
thing you and I did. We were stepping on the gas pretty hard there.
Yeah. We went to New York. 6 months is not that. Like,
no, it's 6 months is a reasonable time to take a trip together. But yeah,
we had a friend who like gave
the friend
shit
who introduced us, like commented,
was like over. Oh, pretty serious. But like 6 months, that's
a normal time to go on a trip.
That's a normal time to go on a trip. Yeah. Some people get married after a few months.
Yeah. Or don't, like Penny and Pete on Happy Endings.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
But I think maybe because like you and I are big, like, pet people, mm-hmm. you know, we're dildos.
Dual income.
Large dog owners. Well, except we have a medium sized dog, but it's still too funny not to say.
Yeah.
We're like pet people. To me, like moving in together is a, like getting a pet together is a bigger step than moving in together.
It's like, yeah.
Like first move in, then take care of another life together.
Yes. Yes. And I'm not one of those people who uses pets as like children, but like,
yeah, we don't like, the term fur babies.
We're not dog moms and dog dads. No. We have, you know, animals that rely on us for.
Yeah. But I feel like I do use this shorthand, like mom and dad, like,
yeah.
Cause here's if people listen to this, if you don't have a dog, here's the thing that happens when you have a dog. You walk your dog around the neighborhood, you get to know the names of the other dogs in the neighborhood, but not their owners.
Right.
So if I'm telling you a story, I'll be like, oh, we ran into Cosmo's mom, because I don't know her name.
Right.
I just know that's the woman who walks Cosmo.
Yeah.
And it feels too weird to say like Cosmo's owner.
Fluffy's dad.
Yeah. Fluffy's dad.
Yeah.
Cosmo's mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I do use mom and dad as a shorthand, but I don't really think of them as.
I'll tell you like you're a good dog dad sometimes.
Yeah, even. Well, I feel bad because I forgot to feed our dog this morning.
Yeah, so you're a bad.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm a bad dog dad. All right, so finally, I guess Rachel's big step in getting over Ross is that Monica has set her up on a date with Ari Gross. The actor Ari Gross, who is probably best known for being on the Ellen sitcom.
Yes.
But he's also, it's been a long time since I've seen it. I think it's probably been even longer for you. In Minority Report, I don't know if you remember the whole opening of Minority Report where we learn about how pre-crime works, you know, that like one of the precogs like sees a man murdering his unfaithful wife.
Okay.
And then Tom Cruise has to like use the clues from the precog's vision to like track down and stop the crime before it happened. Ari Gross is the man who's about to murder his wife when Tom Cruise kicks in his door.
Okay.
In the opening scene. So there's also a really good movie actually called Big Eden that not a lot of people saw, but it's directed by Thomas Pazuka, who made, The Family Stone is probably his most famous, but just last year or two, I guess 2 years ago, because it's 2022 now, he made a movie called Let Him Go with Kevin Costner and Diane Lane.
Give me the boy.
Give me the boy. That's an inside joke, but I was like talking about it, and I was like, what was that movie you liked with Kevin Costner? Give Me the Boy?
part of it is to make you laugh. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Come up with ridiculous names of things that I should know better.
So anyway, Rachel's on a date with Ari Gross. I really like Ari Gross as an actor. He's very, very good. Charming, very funny. I would say, unconventionally attractive, would you say? about Ernie Gross? You didn't think he was attractive?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, and then back at the perk, we get a couple of cute scenes. Joey and Phoebe are a pair that I like, mm-hmm. you know, and Joey and Phoebe are talking about this problem, you know, yeah. and they're having like Joey's like cheering Phoebe up by objectifying her, which is yeah. like kind of a cute, like
excellent, but great rack.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, really?
Yeah. And then we get, Chandler and Monica also kind of being cute together, mm-hmm. like fighting. We see them on a jog, like through the perk window, and they're like arguing with each other. It's all very cute.
Now, let me just ask you something, because I know about Friends. Are there any like ships that you have
in this friend group? I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I think, even though it's so weird because Joey dated Ursula, mm-hmm. I like Joey and Phoebe together. I think ever since that episode in season one where they kissed, like kind of accidentally,
there's a lot of sexual tension between, well, like I think mostly like Phoebe is attracted to Joey.
Yeah. Well, Joey, obviously he just said excellent, but great rack. He finds her attractive too.
Yeah.
Because I know, cause we've talked about it before, and I kind of know that Monica and Chandler.
Okay. Okay. I was
no, cause remember we talked about of the very few things that I've seen, there's an episode I know is coming at some point in the future where like Monica like reserves a wedding space like impulsively and then gets a phone call about it. And Chandler's like, what are you doing? So okay. I know from that episode, cause that's one, you know, there's things with shows you've never seen, but yes. somehow there's episodes you've seen multiple times.
Yes. Like yes.
That I've caught that rerun multiple times. So because okay. of that, I think we talked about this before. I know that Monica and Chandler are together at okay. some point. I don't know if Phoebe and Joey are ever together. I hope they are, because I think I do ship them. I mean, okay. I guess I don't really want any of these friends to like keep your friends groups and your dating groups separate.
There's another pairing that's also interesting.
Okay. Is it Joey and Ross?
I wish.
Yeah. Anyway, so what was I saying? So here's another. Okay. This show, both these shows, but I think Friends especially does this thing where it like cuts back and forth between storylines. Mm-hmm. But like when we're at the perk with Joey and Phoebe and Monica and Chandler running outside, it's daytime. And yet we're cutting back and forth with Rachel's date, which is clearly a nighttime thing.
Yeah.
I don't think they're really supposed to be like taking yeah. place at the same time, but they're cut so that they are.
Yeah.
So we cut back to the date and Rachel is drunk and yeah. it's very funny.
She's wasted. She like, this was just like a funny move when the waiter handed her wine, like was going to place the wine on the table. She grabbed it from him and then immediately chugged the whole thing. Like it didn't even go on the table. She just grabbed it straight from the server.
And then she, borrows a cell phone in 1995,
like Nokia. It was a Nokia.
Yeah. From an actor named Barry Diamond.
He looked very familiar.
Oh yeah. He is. Also, we always talk about Seinfeld when we talk about Friends.
Uh-huh.
The episode, I think it's the episode where they're all trying to meet up to watch it, to see a movie together.
Okay.
And Jerry takes a cab with a fellow comedian who's like a weirdo. And is okay. like, remember he's like, Jerry, can I keep my coat in your closet for a few months? Do you remember that guy?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's Barry him. Diamond.
Okay.
Pat Buckles, I had to look up, is the name of the character on okay. Seinfeld that he played. But yeah, that's Barry Diamond. So yeah, yeah. She borrows his phone, makes a drunken phone call to Ross saying that she's like over him.
On his voicemail.
Yeah,
on his...
Yeah, that's right. Yes. Leaves a voicemail. That's important. Then we cut to, now it's the next morning. It's Sunday morning.
Or on his answering machine. Cause it's not right. voicemail.
Yes. We need
answer machine.
I didn't even like, until Ross is like, oh, I haven't been home to check my messages.
Yeah.
I didn't even think like, oh, right. He'd have to be home or what he'd do, what he does, which is call like a service, which I don't think I ever did.
I did that. You like, you press like star and then it's like, what's okay. your code?
You could check your
yeah.
answering machine remotely. But anyway, it's the next morning. Chandler finally tells Monica, like, I don't want to do, it's Sunday morning. I want, you know, I want a day off of running. Meanwhile, Rachel's hungover. She's like taking Tylenol, yeah. which is like, or yeah, aspirin, which is what I do when I'm
but you hungover. Don't bring the whole bottle and a whole glass and set it on the table next to each other.
Like that's our breakfast. Just like, yeah. 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 So then Ross shows up cause, Julie's like meeting him. There.
Monica has some like cat toys.
That's right. Oh yeah. Yeah. Fluffy Meowington.
Meowington. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. So he's there to pick up some cat toys and then Julie's going to meet him there and they'll get the cat together.
Yeah.
And he checks his message and we get a very awesome bit of physical comedy, yes. where like Rachel, cause Rachel doesn't remember leaving the voicemail. She has like snatches.
She just like walks into her bedroom.
Yeah.
And then it's all coming back to her.
Yeah. And so then she runs across the room and like jumps onto Ross's back while he's listening to the voicemail and is, trying to get him off the phone. And it ends in a bit that I think is just like fortuitous. I don't know they necessarily planned them. When she finally gets the phone away, she like tosses it into the sink and it like bounces around the sink a few times.
Yeah.
Which I thought was like a nice little like
yeah.
tag to the physical comedy bit that probably wasn't planned, but you know, happenstance.
Yeah.
Serendipity.
Yeah.
Okay, so then yeah. So Ross finally understands like, oh, you knew that I was into you and you've been like jealous of Julie this whole time. And like, this is a huge revelation to me. And I felt so bad for Julie. And then Julie shows up or at least she's downstairs. We don't see her. We hear her voice.
Well, the classic, like you're over me. When were you under me?
Yeah. 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 I don't know. Do you have anything else to say about this scene?
I like the, like when he's starting to check his answering machine and he's like, oh, this one's from you, Rach.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Just like how it went from like upbeat, happy yeah. to like in like the blink of an eye, like just pure shock.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
And this, yeah, this scene, I thought it was going to be the big, like them confronting each other. That happens later. So the later scene, I think is the better one.
Yes.
This one is like, he's just shocked and he needs to get out of there. And there's some good comedy in the scene that I'll talk about when we get to funniest moments.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, other storylines, Phoebe finally gets laid, right?
Mm-hmm.
She comes, she's over at, Joey and Chandler's to brag about it. Joey is watching TV and he has just a big Tupperware full of cookies.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, I don't think Joey made the cookies.
No,
I think one of his sisters.
I assume Monica made cookies.
Oh, Monica made them. Okay. I thought maybe they were like from one of his sisters or something.
I mean, I guess it could be.
Yeah. But he's got a big Tupperware full of cookies next to him while he's watching.
The show is so like culturally insensitive that like if the sisters made him anything, it'd be like a big bowl of spaghetti.
Yeah. Yeah. Some ziti.
Yeah.
Some gabagool. Gabagool's hacky. It's like the go-to. I shouldn't say gabagool. That's like what everyone references. All right. I didn't like this scene at all between Phoebe and Joey, really this idea that like, it turns out that Phoebe's date kind of like manipulated her into a like no strings relationship.
But that's one way to see it. Another way to see it is like Phoebe wanted to have sex and she had sex with the guy that she wanted to.
Yeah,
like,
but that's not how the show wants it.
But the show is like very like regressive attitudes of like battle of the sexes, you know, like
of course this is what men want.
Yes. And women should be ashamed if they want this.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like Phoebe just wanted a sexual relationship and then Joey had to be like, but you don't really want that.
Yeah.
And then she had a cookie.
Yeah, but she felt like he made her feel like what she wanted was shameful or wrong. And now she's being used.
Yeah.
You know,
really,
whereas
she was
like,
happy.
She was happy. Like she got what she wanted. The dude got what he wanted. You know, like.
Yeah. Look, I'm with you.
Regressive.
Yeah. I mean, regressive for today, probably par for the course for 1995.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Now we get to the actual, like, one-act play.
Yeah.
When Rachel's closing up the perk and Ross shows up and they have a big, it's pouring rain outside and they, like, have their big, like, it was unfair of you to do this, you know,
I'm not getting a cat.
or yeah, I would have, but this back and forth about like sort of, I thought that it was very, authentic the way that they're talking about in it. 'Cause in our, as a viewer, I'm saying, I'm looking at this and saying like, okay, the writers contrived reasons to keep them apart for so long.
Mm-hmm.
But to them, all these things actually happened. Right. So when like right. Ross is talking about like, I've been keeping this to myself since I was a freshman, you know, and then you were dating Paolo, and then Barry was back in the picture,
and then Paolo again,
and like, and then she's like, and you didn't tell me, and you went off to China, and you were with Julie, like all these things that had been, like I said, had been the writers putting obstacles in the way,
yeah.
suddenly became very like real, and you saw. I think I felt the frustration, mm-hmm. and I felt like that they're not having been able to act in their emotions before
yeah.
was very real to them.
Yes.
You know, they were feeling all of these things. It's a really, really good scene.
It is. Yeah.
And I should have looked at who directed the episode, 'cause it's not just very well performed and written. It's very well staged, very well, like blocked the way they move, like,
yeah.
you know, closer together behind the couch. And then Ross storms out and Rachel goes and sits on the couch and they come back together. It's a great, great little scene.
And there's like, there's humor in it too, when like she, like Ross is at the window and sees her crying, and then she sees him, and then, you know, there's so many locks on the door,
yeah.
and like she's trying to unlock all the doors to get to him, and there's like all kinds of like passion in the air,
yeah,
and yeah. She can't get the lock, and then he says like muffled on the other side of the door, try the bottom lock,
yeah,
and yeah. it was, you know, like that was really funny.
Yeah, and a couple things. Well, one, the director's, I didn't make this up. The director's name is Peter Boners.
Nice.
Also, I thought that I don't think we've ever gotten that close to the front door of the Perk, and it has like the logo. And for a second, I thought it was like an onion, like, 'cause it's the top of a big coffee cup, the logo. Mm-hmm. And then there's like a swirl to look like coffee. But it looked like a drawing of like an onion, like a half of an onion.
I thought it was a coffee bean.
No, it's...
It's the top of a... Okay.
I'm talking about not the big logo on the window.
Okay.
The little logos that are on each door.
Okay.
It's a drawing, like a drawing of a coffee
okay.
mug, a big coffee mug. But the swirl
on the top, looks like an onion.
It looked like half an onion.
Okay.
It took me a second to be like, I was like, why is there an onion on the door?
Okay.
Anyway, that's dumb. And then so finally she gets the door back open and they kiss. It's a big... We've been waiting,
yeah.
you know, a season.
It's raining outside.
Yeah. Beautiful.
There's like steam from the, I guess, subway grate. You know,
yeah,
it's very like
yeah.
steamy.
Yeah, it's big emotional moments happening in the rain is like, I understand that it's a trope, but it works for
it
me
works
a lot
for me
of the
too.
Time.
Yeah.
Yeah. so then. We can't, it's still a sitcom. We can't end on this emotional moment. We had to have a tag at the
yeah,
end.
Yeah.
And I didn't like the tag either because I thought like, now Chandler's the one being mean.
Yes.
Like making Monica feel bad about
yes.
being unemployed and
he didn't want
boyfriendless
to,
just
he didn't
to
want
get
to go
out
on a run on a Sunday morning.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, that's the tag.
Yeah. He basically is like, oh, you have no job, no boyfriend. He like drives her into like a deep depression.
Yeah. Yeah. Just so he doesn't have
just
to, he, like
so
dances,
he doesn't have to run. Yeah.
Dances around after she lays down on the couch.
Yeah.
So should we move on to funniest moments? Did you have anything else you wanted to point out?
Props
about
to the props department. Okay. When Rachel is at her like drunken date, there's so much bread on the table. Did you notice?
No,
maybe because it wasn't a bread basket, it was just bread on a plate. If it were a basket, it would look like a normal amount, but because it was just on a platter, it was just piles and piles of bread.
They always have way too much
bread. And then also
and way too much just like appetizers and stuff
yeah.
on this show.
All those cookies in that Tupperware.
It was a huge thing
yeah.
of cookies.
Yeah.
So I remember
carb heavy episode.
Yeah. I do remember when I was a kid, my friend Ben, his dad liked to bake, and he would bake white chocolate macadamia nut cookies that I loved.
Ugh.
And you don't like white chocolate, but he would make, and I feel bad in retrospect, but like Ben would, I'd like sleep over at Ben's house and like stay up and watch movies all night. And there would be like a Tupperware thing that size. And by the morning I'd have eaten all of the white chocolate macadamia nut cookies.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on to funniest moments, right?
Yes.
I'll say my funniest is not a, this is why I'm saying funniest moment instead of funniest line. It's a moment. It's a bit from Jennifer Aniston after she triumphantly makes, she borrows Barry Diamond's cell phone, right? Uh-huh. Is like kind of rude about it. Makes her drunken phone call, you know, declares that she's over him, then like shuts off the phone and tosses it in the champagne bucket.
Yeah. How many takes was that, I wonder?
I know, but I laughed so hard at like, because we never, I like that we don't even see Barry Diamond's reaction to like, what'd you do? It's just like, it's, I laughed so hard at that.
But, yeah.
I've got two more. What else do you
have? I also have a Rachel one. When she is at, like, working at the Perk, she's trying to be cool about Ross and Julie getting a cat. And she's like clearly not okay with, everyone knows she's not okay with it. And she like storms out wearing her apron with a tray of coffee mugs. Right. And she says, and you two have a really good cat, and like storms out. And then she comes back and says like, oh, I'm not supposed to leave.
We're not supposed to leave.
But like really good cat is a funny insult.
Yeah. Okay, my next one is Joey's first suggestion for why Phoebe's date or whatever boyfriend is not sleeping with her is that he might be gay, and he says maybe he drives on the other side of the road, if you know what I mean. And Phoebe's like, no, I don't. He's not British.
Yeah,
yeah. I thought that was funny.
I have another one. This one was from Ross, and it was the way that he,
I think this might be the same one as me.
The way that he, so after like he finds out about Rachel, listens to the voicemail,
I think this is exactly the same.
Julie is like still on the cab, and she like, she buzzes up and says the taxi is waiting, and Ross is like freaked out, doesn't know what to say. And he says, I'll be right down. Yeah, like in like the weirdest monotone.
Yeah, it's, yeah, it is very like, it reminded me of the way you say your name at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah,
it's like
very robotic.
I'll be right down.
Yeah.
It was very funny.
Yeah. In that same scene, I'm just going to blend it together. He just screams cat in Rachel's face.
Yeah.
They're supposed to get a cat.
Yeah. I think about like, you know, we were talking about, happy endings, because that's a show you and I are, you're rewatching it, and I'm watching it for the first time with you. And like, Casey Wilson is someone that I like knew from being funny before she was on the show, you know? And I think I, as like a comedy nerd, sometimes have a bias where I only expect people to be funny on sitcoms if I know them from being funny elsewhere.
Okay.
And that's clearly not fair, because both Jennifer Aniston and David Schwimmer display expert comic timing, despite not being stand-ups, not coming from the sketch world.
Right.
They're just, they're
comic actors.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, I think, I've come to like, tried to think of like the word comedian doesn't have to be stand-up comedian.
Right.
It's someone who is professionally funny. And, I don't think people think of Jennifer Aniston when they think of the word comedian, but in a way she is. She's a very funny
person. But I think that's a, like, I think it's okay to not call her a comedian. I think she can be a comic actress.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. But I'm,
she can do drama too. Like, she's
okay.
An actress.
Okay.
First. And she could be a comic actress. She's on tons of like rom-coms.
Yeah. And
but she's
very
not
funny.
I wouldn't call her a comedian.
Okay. I'm trying to like expand my definition of the word comedian. Maybe I'll continue to use like stand up or comic to mean stand up.
Okay. Well, you could use whatever. I'm just saying like my distinction is
right.
Comedian.
Okay.
Comic actor.
All right. So that's all the funniest moments I had. Did you have any more?
Nope.
All right. Let's move on to, naked fashion. I mentioned Chandler's enormous cardigan, which I actually kind of liked in the opening scene. He also has another bathrobe, which you remember, when the one where Heckles dies, I pointed out Chandler's bathrobe because I was like, I'm in the market for a new bathrobe. I got a new bathrobe for Christmas.
You
thank
did.
You very much.
Yes.
And it doesn't Chandler's bathrobe this time doesn't hold a candle to
it. Doesn't have little boats all over it.
Yeah, my new bathroom with little butts all over it, which I like. And then normally we go back and forth. I'll just say my last one. In the scene where Ross finds out when he's listening to the voicemail, he's got kind of like an intentionally ratty looking cable knit sweater that's like a burgundy color that I really dug.
Okay.
All right. What do you have for friends but make it fashion?
Phoebe has a great like burnt sienna sweater with big buttons. This is a scene when she's talking to Joey about wanting to have sex.
Right.
And then also we've talked about like the like weird thematic elements of their fashion, specifically like in the women's clothing. So there were like two instances of like silk kimono style attire. One was Monica on the date.
Rachel on the date.
Rachel on the date. And then also Phoebe's...
Post-coital Phoebe.
Yeah. Post-coital Phoebe. It's hard
yeah.
to say.
Yeah.
Like a jacket, like a silk jacket. Yeah,
that's right.
Should we talk about themes?
Yeah, well, as far as running jokes, motifs, and foreshadowing, okay. we've got another, more gay jokes, of
more
course.
Gay
can't
panic.
Not have yeah. gay jokes. And then also a character watching, like... bad TV somewhat oh, ironically. Right. Joey's watching like a
rabbi playing electric guitar.
Yeah, it's like a concert in Hebrew.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There's that. There's obviously the fat phobia. Being mean to each other.
Okay, yeah.
You know, also when like during like the exercise montage, it's the Village People, Macho Man.
Oh yeah.
They throw in like actual songs.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Also, I didn't like, so in this like quest to get him down 3 pounds or whatever, like, is there a weigh-in? Like, that just grossed me out.
I'm guessing like, there's a weigh-in.
When there's 1 pound left and she's like, we need to get one pound down. He's like, no, I like this pound. Let's keep it. I don't care. Yeah, and I think it's like troubling because we know Monica's history of like disordered eating
right,
and yeah. You know, like it's just kind of like a gross territory that I feel like Chandler's like tapping into.
Yeah, I mean he doesn't know that. Oh, right? I mean that's not what he plays on her like loneliness and her like insecurity on her, yeah,
yeah,
about her parents and stuff like that. He's not playing on her weight thing. She's
right. But in,
she is.
In a more realistic version of this, like
in a more
this
yeah.
is very triggering.
Right. Anything else?
Nope.
Well, then we'll be right back.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, we're back, which means it's time for us to dig in to How I Met Your Mother, Season 2, Episode 7, Swarley. Take it away, Natalie.
Okay, so this episode starts in a very... Central Perk like atmosphere because they yes. start off in a coffee shop.
Yes.
Costa Coffee. And they joke that it's not as much fun as being in a bar, which is an argument that you've
and
made
I wondered like I wrote down like, is this where I got the idea for this podcast? Like I wonder if watching
yeah.
How I Met Your Mother, I was like, oh, this would be a
fun.
Good idea for a podcast.
Yeah. So the three dudes are like sitting around and then there's like the classic joke of like getting the names wrong on coffee cups, which is something that has happened to me before in the past.
Yeah.
Does it ever happen to you? You have a pretty straightforward name. There's no like alternate spellings.
Well, I also, and this is going to sound like a snob from the year 2000 or whatever, but I also don't go to those kind of coffee places. I just like make coffee at home or get it at work or whatever. I don't like,
whatever. I buy you like Starbucks all the time. Like on road trips or like
on road trips, but I don't have to give my name.
Yeah, I guess because I always do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm saying I don't generally find myself in that kind of situation.
So yeah. So the name Swarley of the episode is because Barney's cup says Swarley.
Yeah.
On his cup. And at the coffee shop is Chloe, who's played by Marina Baccarin?
I think it's Baccarin, yeah.
And then also Thomas Lank is also there.
Yeah, so the two employees are both Joss Whedon alums.
Yes.
Marina Baccarin was Inara on Firefly before she was on Homeland.
Yeah.
I guess apparently she's in the Deadpool movies. I don't know that. I didn't know that. And Tom Lank, of course, was Andrew on Buffy. Mm-hmm. And on Angel. He showed up on Angel.
And he's just great in everything that I've seen him in.
Yes.
Chloe is very, very cute, and Marshall like makes her laugh every time by making a joke about pumpkin spice lattes. It's not a funny joke, but she loves it. She's very much into it.
But I love he says like, I always make jokes. Then we get a montage of him making the exact same joke every time.
And it works every time. And then, you know, Ted convinces him like, you've been broken up with Lily for 6 months now. Like, why not, you know, ask her out? And he gives her like dumb advice to like look down and like, what was his way of like asking someone out? It was very Ted, like very like sheepishly.
Yeah. Like, playing up the like beta thing.
Yeah.
Not that I like that.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean?
And so he tries it and it seems to not work. But it actually does because Chloe writes her phone number on the coffee cup.
Yeah.
So then what happens? Okay. So Lily and Robin are hanging out and Robin kind of tells her like, no, first Lily invites them all to a wine tasting and help her kill the rat.
Oh, right.
And Ted makes a funny joke, yeah. Like, you could put out cheese for both.
Yeah.
Both events, which is really funny.
Yeah.
And Robin tells Lily like, Marshall can't come. Like, yeah. he's actually on a date.
And Ted's there too for this.
Ted's there too.
It's important later.
Yes. And Lily says, that's okay. That's fine. Yeah. But apparently like she was really not fine with it. And she gave Robin kind of like a eye contact look.
Yeah. which does the look and it's nothing.
And it's supposed to be like, I can't tell you how I feel right now, but call me later.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to just know this look.
Yeah.
Robin doesn't pick up on it. Okay. So I guess the dudes in the episode are at McLaren's drinking a brew. And this, I hated this scene because they're talking about this crazy eyes. The whole premise is bad and it's really demonstrates insensitivity towards mental illness.
Oh, and it's also, that's true. But it's also playing into like, misogynist stereotypes about like women are crazy.
Women be crazy.
Yeah.
Women be needy, you know, and having crazy eyes. So they like tell examples of like women with crazy eyes. And I guess, is this the same scene where they meet Chloe?
Yeah, that's how it happens. They meet Chloe up close, like not at the counter, but
she
like
goes to the bathroom and then they talk about like, crazy eyes.
You can't date this girl. Yeah. She's got crazy eyes.
Yeah. And then, Barney tells an example of like a quote unquote, like crazy girl who like he slept with and she wanted to have a threesome with a stuffed animal. Uh-huh. And then there was another one in which,
Ted, was dating a girl who like, someone like almost hit Ted with,
their
car and like did the like, I'm sorry. And Ted was like, it's okay. But then she like picked up a rebar
golf
or something.
Club and like started smashing this car.
Which I like, my thought was how fun for that actress.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Wouldn't you love to smash up a car with a steel pipe or something?
Yeah.
It seems like a lot of fun.
So throughout this episode, like the best parts of this episode are them roasting Barney with Swarley.
So great.
Swarley quotes. But like there are different versions of Swarley are very funny.
Yeah.
And they get the whole crew involved. Like the bartenders, like the guy on the radio. This one goes out to Swarley.
Yeah. There are so many examples that I don't want to give because I don't know if I'm stealing a funniest moment. But the one like when Ted shows up at Robin's like right after the swirly thing happened, and like he's telling the story, and then Robin is like, oh, so Swirly was there? And he goes, oh, good, you got my text.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, Ted is like, wait a second. Text, like, okay, just so you know, Barney is now Swirly. I'll tell you later. So, like, I love how game they all are.
Yeah.
And even, like, everyone around them, like, hey, Swirls. Like, it goes so far past just Swirly.
Yeah.
I really love this joke. So we see a scene where Marshall is, like, getting out of class, right? He's at school.
He's in the middle of taking a test.
Yeah. Chloe calls and says, there's like a hunchback following me, like chasing me and screaming at me. Yeah. And he's like, oh, okay. And she's like, can you please pick me up? And he like, in his mind, he's like, oh, this is what Barney was talking about. She's crazy.
Yeah.
But we later find out the
root of that. Yeah.
But okay, I guess I'll go on. So Marshall and Chloe go on a date. They go back to Marshall and Ted's apartment and they're just chatting. He goes and like pours a beer and he hears a glass break. And she said, oh, I just dropped my keys. But we see that it's like a picture of Lily and Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all, the audience, we're all thinking like, oh, she's insane, right? But then we learn what actually happens is we learn that Lily is not only not cool with Marshall, like going on a date with another girl, but she's so like, is she pretty? Is she fat?
Again.
Fat phobic. Yeah. They all are. So Robin says, oh, she works at Costa Coffee.
Yeah.
So Lily goes and like stalks her. And then it's starting to pour outside. And so she like, she does chases Chloe down the street, but like puts her jacket over her head.
Cause it's raining.
And then she screams at her in like a menacing way. So she's the quote unquote midget hunchback chasing her down the street.
And also, I also want to point out that Lily's wearing a New York Mets hat, which I like. That I like when characters have nods to like where they're from, because Lily of the gang, Lily's the only New York native, so I like that she was wearing a New York Mets hat. Anyway,
so Lily wants to prevent them from ever like being together or having sex, because Robin said, oh, they'll just have sex a few times and then it'll be over.
Yeah,
and Lily wants to prevent that. So she sneaks into the apartment and then puts the framed photo of Lily and Marshall up. So Marshall like sees it and reconsiders this date with Chloe.
Yeah.
And she hears them come up and then she drops it, breaks it, hides under the desk. They come in and Marshall is sitting on the couch with Chloe and he wants to see if her eyes are in fact crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Lily can't handle it and she dives onto the couch and like attacks them. What happens next?
Lily, it makes sense that Lily still has keys, right?
Yeah. Lily still has keys.
Yeah, and then they never mention it, but I was like, for a second, I was like, how'd she get in the apartment? I was like, oh yeah, she would have keys to this
okay,
apartment.
So at this point, Lily, meets Chloe, shakes her hand, and then leaves. Marshall goes out and follows her, and they have this like tearful admission on the steps, you know, about how they miss each other and they love each other and they're not ready to move on. At that point, Barney and Ted are coming.
Well, first they kiss, right?
Yeah, they kiss.
Yeah.
Barney and Ted meet with them in front and say, wow, like just 6 months ago, you were crying by yourself after your breakup and now you're together and we're all happy. And then the final scene is that
the tag at the end. It's so great.
Yeah. Describe it.
You want me to describe it?
Yeah.
It's just, they're at McLaren's and then, oh wait, you're missing. I jumped ahead because they're missing. They go back up to the apartment and Chloe has like,
oh, she's destroyed
the apartment.
Yeah. So she actually is crazy. Yeah,
unfortunately.
But
then the tag at the end, they're all at McLaren's, and then they're hanging out, and then Barney walks in, and the entire bar goes, "Swarly!" And he, like, turns around and walks out, and then the Cheers theme plays,
yeah.
And the end titles are the Cheers, like, font and color.
Yeah.
I loved it so much.
Yeah, me too.
But I love how the episode opened with a Friends reference and closed with a Cheers reference.
Yes, yes.
Because I don't know if we really hit home that opening scene. Like, Costa Coffee is clearly modeled on Central Park. Yes. It's the exact same layout and everything.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well,
should we go to our funniest line?
Yeah, I've got a bunch. Well, I've got like four of them. Funniest moments.
Well, it's mostly just like the Swarly, Swarls Barkley, Swarlos.
I wonder if you got mine.
Bob Swarly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Bob Swarly.
Old Swarls.
Old Swarls. Yeah. Did you get, I don't know if you got mine.
No, I also loved like the radio show shout out. This one goes to old Swarly.
Yeah. Yeah. Barney's gone and he's not coming back.
Yeah.
No, my favorite was when Chloe comes over at the date and she's like, "So does Swarly live here too?" And Marshall says, "No, Swarhili's got his own place."
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So other than, the Swarly stuff, which is hilarious, there was also just some like big broad comedy that really made me laugh. Lily's whole like chasing Chloe in the rain and putting on a voice and saying, "Chloe, turn around." Like, I was laughing the entire time.
When she explained that to Marshall, he was like endeared by it in a way.
Yeah. Do you have any more funniest moments?
No.
Okay. So another big moment, the kind of climax, well, I guess the actual climax of the Swarly stuff is the Cheers thing, but the emotional climax for Barney when he like tries to insist that he likes the name, and then Ted is like, "Say the name, say it," and then he just like flips out. He's like, "I don't like it, I hate it," and he like storms out. Very, very funny stuff. And then also for personal reasons, because I agree with Marshall here, I very much liked when he's like naming things he and Chloe have in common, and he says, you know, "She likes this and I like Italian this." Food. And she goes, "Yeah, she likes Italian food. I like Italian food. She likes Billy Joel. I also like music."
Yeah. Yeah. That was really funny.
And then there was a callback to a couple of Billy Joel callbacks. Cause like she, when they enter the apartment, Chloe is like, has just finished quoting every lyric to "We Didn't Start the Fire," which includes the line, "I can't take it anymore." And in Bob Saget's narration, when Lily jumps out from behind the desk, he says like, she, like Billy Joel, couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah.
So I liked the, as a guy who does not like Billy Joel, I liked the making fun of Billy Joel stuff.
Also, I don't know if you clocked this, but in the scene where they're talking about Crazy Eyes, did you notice Taron Killam was in the background? He was one of the actors. I was trying to figure it out. In McLaren.
In McLaren? Okay,
because
when I was looking up Tom Lank, I saw Taron Killam in the IMDb for this episode, and I was like, oh, but that's funny. Like, is he playing a different character than when he was Barney and Marshall's coworker last season?
Yeah, maybe he's just like in the background now.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's funny. Also, they were talking about like Crazy Eyes being like a pet peeve for men, I guess. And the ladies were talking about jerk nails.
Yeah. You don't want to date a guy whose nails and fingernails are too perfect. And Robin's like, oh, jerk nails.
Jerk nails.
Yeah.
That was funny. Should we go on to fashion?
Let's go on to How I Met Your Mother, but make it fashion. But I will tell you up front, I didn't write anything down.
Okay. I like, Ted had a plaid shirt and I thought it looked good on him.
Okay.
He rarely wears clothes that I enjoy. Yeah. And I enjoyed this plaid shirt. I also enjoyed a Robin outfit, which is...
Which one?
There was a orange wrap dress. And I was like, that's not bad.
Oh, and that she's wearing at the end. She has like brown boots on.
I didn't like the boots with it, but I liked the dress. And I think just because I always hate her clothes, like it's if something's like not bad, it's very startling to me.
You didn't like the boots though?
I didn't like the boots with the dress.
No. I thought it was a good pair.
No, I feel like boots are worn too often by these gals. Oh!
But it's 2006 or whatever.
I forgot a very
funny... Were you wearing boots in 2006?
Probably not. Maybe if it was cold enough.
Okay.
Yeah, I had some boots. I like boots. I just don't like their boots.
Okay.
Another funny callback to the coffee cups. Robin, on Robin's cup, it says Roland. Yes. Which is funny. So Chloe
Chloe just calls Robin Roland. Like, yes. Nice to meet you, Roland.
Yes, yeah. Nice to meet you, Roland. Which is funny. Chloe's just like bad with names.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Barney like tries to make Roland into a thing, and Ted's like, nice try, Swirly.
Yeah. So some of the motifs.
Okay, so I've got a bunch that I want to. There's a brief wait for it reference when like Barney's like listing all the things he's sick of, and he says, "Swar, wait for it, Lee."
I didn't notice that.
We mentioned there's a dumb fat joke. Mm-hmm. There's again, as always seems to happen on often seems to happen on How I Met Your Mother, there's playing with time.
Yes.
That like,
yes,
we get to like Lily jumping out in the middle of the date pretty like at like the halfway point of the right. episode, and then it takes the entire episode flashback to get back to that.
Yes.
That's a very How I Met Your Mother type of thing. Also just a foreshadowing or things to look for. This won't be the last time that someone is identified by having an umbrella with a distinctive color.
Oh, I know about that.
You know about the yellow umbrella?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know you knew about that. But this, Chloe had a pink umbrella, which I kind of liked. It was a good looking umbrella.
Yeah.
All right. That's all I had. Did you have any other, any things you noticed in terms of running jokes, motifs, foreshadowing, that sort of thing?
No, but, some similarities.
Let's move on to similarities and differences between the two episodes. I've got a surprising amount.
Oh, okay. I don't have that many. All I have is, it was, rainy.
Yeah. I put rain on my
episodes. Coffee.
Both episodes had rain. Yeah. Coffee. In both episodes have climactic kisses, you know, Ross and Rachel kissing for the first time.
Oh, yes.
Marshall and Lily sort of getting back together,
yes,
having a big kiss. Both episodes feature women pretending to be cool with the guy they're into dating someone else.
Good catch. Yes.
And then, unfortunately, in a negative way, both episodes reinforce unfair gender stereotypes.
Yes.
We talked about Joey, like, insisting that...
I feel like that we should stamp on every single episode. Like, that's obvious.
Yeah. I mean, I said it before, that, like, going into this show, my thinking was, in comparing the two shows, like... Oh, 10 years later, How I Met Your Mother will be substantially more progressive than Friends. It's maybe a modicum more progressive, if at all.
Yeah.
It's very, very slight. And in some ways, even more.
Less, yes.
Yeah. Like this, because I think the nature of comedy of How I Met Your Mother is like, it's not an edgy show, but I feel like the writers feel like, because by 2005, we've already got like, you know, more, the thing that happened in TV between Friends and How I Met Your Mother is HBO like became big,
yes.
Right? So the audience, the potential audience is spread out more. So I feel like How I Met Your Mother is trying to be a little more specific and feels like they can get away with more. So sometimes that getting away with more just means being meaner, you know? And that, and so the Crazy Eyes thing is just mean. There was, another one they did recently that I'm now forgetting that we both hated, but I can't remember what it was.
I don't remember. I hate a lot of things. I feel like these writers also are like really like self-satisfied, you know, like you can tell that they think they're at like such a higher level of comic, you know, writing.
Yeah. Which I mean, if we were to watch other sitcoms from this year, especially network sitcoms from this year, this was one of the best sitcoms on TV. I still love it. So they were ahead of the game or on top of the game in many ways, but there is a self-satisfied nature to the like hanging a lantern on the joke, you know, which sometimes works. Sometimes the fact that How I Met Your Mother is more willing than Friends to acknowledge the unreality of the situation and acknowledge that we're watching a sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that works, but you're right. A lot of times it also comes across as smug.
Yeah. Yeah. Smug. Exactly.
Well, let's move on to playing favorites.
Okay.
Might surprise you. We'll see.
3, 2, 1.
How
Friends.
I Met Your Mother. as much as I wanted to discount the How I Met Your Mother for the Crazy Eyes thing, this was simply such a funny episode. Between the Swirly thing was hilarious, the big like Barney storming out and Lily chasing Chloe in the rain and like hobbling and doing a weird, like Allison Hannigan just doing a very silly voice.
Yeah.
Like it was just such a nonstop funny episode.
It was, I will give it that. It was so much more funny than the Friends episode, but the Friends episode, just like the final scene is just like, so like finally, like gut wrenching. Yeah. Very emotionally heavy and satisfying, like really satisfying.
Yeah, I can't deny that these are both, not only were they both very good episodes, they were both very funny episodes. There was a lot of comedy in both of these episodes, but the Swarley might be, you could tell me if this is true because we watched the shows together, but I feel like since the beginning of this podcast to now, I don't think I've laughed as consistently through an episode of either of these shows as I did through Swarley.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know if that was your experience, but it was just, this is the funniest episode of either show so far, I think.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on to my favorite segment to introduce. It's a segment called How Were We Doing?
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we look at what was going on in the world on the days these episodes aired. So Friends season 2, episode 7, the one where Ross finds out, aired on Thursday, November 9th, 1995. Which in Europe, November 9th is known as Inventor's Day because it is in honor of the birthday of Hedy Lamarr, who was a movie star who also like invented technology that like is the reason we have Bluetooth today.
Yeah.
such a crazy that I never said there's a documentary about her that like came out like 5 years ago that's supposed to be good called Bombshell. November 9th is Inventor's Day in honor of Hedy Lamarr.
Nice.
So good for her. As far as what was going, let's see if there's anything new. No, it's all the same stuff in top songs. Mariah Carey's Fantasy, Coolio's Gangsta's Paradise, Janet Jackson's Runaway, Seal's Kiss from a Rose, and Groove Theory's Tell Me.
Mm-hmm, which I sang last week.
Which you sang last week, yes. So that's what was going on in 1995. Let's jump to Monday, November 6th, 2006.
Okay.
Man, this is just a bummer of a time. Yeah. Like,
yep.
Somalia, Iraq, you know, the trial of Saddam Hussein is going on because he's been, or maybe just finished, I think. Ariel Sharon moved out of the intensive care unit. It's just a real bummer of a time, unfortunately. But let's move. Let's see what was going on. Maybe there's something good happening in music. Okay, we've got. So Justin Timberlake's on here twice. Sexy Back remains at number 5, but at number 1, Justin Timberlake's My Love. Do you remember how that goes?
No.
Neither do I.
Okay.
Akon Smack That, Ludacris Moneymaker, and the made-up song Lips of an Angel by Hinder. What's funny, like, I can show you this, Natalie, on the website that I use. All the top songs have, like, you can see they're blue because they're hyperlinks. They have links to them.
Yeah.
Hinder Lips of an Angel is not
hyperlinked.
It's fake.
Yeah.
It's a fake song, it's fake. I'm pretty sure.
It's a fake band, stock photos. Listeners, you see for yourself.
Yeah.
Google Hinder.
Yeah, prove that they exist.
Yeah.
And then the other segment we do every week is called Challenge Accepted. And this is where we look at what we make guesses about what is going to happen on next week's episode based on only the title and, you know, pre-existing knowledge and stuff like that.
And David comes up with a funny way of...
See, you're putting too much pressure on me, though. Okay, now, but first we have to look at how we did last week.
Okay.
You and I were both so close that we either... I think we're going to stay tied. We either, like, charitably give it to one another or we are, like... stodgers about it and don't give it to one another.
Okay.
So I said that what Ross finds out is Ross finds out that Rachel's been trying to gum up the works with his and Julie's relation, which is not what he found out. He found out that she liked him, but she didn't, he doesn't know any of the, like, her trying to sabotage, trying to keep them from going to bed together and all the, like, bullshit she was doing. So, like, I was kind of right, you know?
Yeah.
But not entirely.
Okay.
You were also kind of right, but not entirely.
Well, you gave it to me because you're like, well, what does Swarly rhyme with?
Yes, but then, but you took it further. You said Swarly is Barney's alter ego when he imbibes a particular spirit or a potent potable. So it is his alter ego in relation to coffee, but coffee's not a spirit.
Right. I feel like we're both so wrong that it's...
We're both so wrong. Yeah. We're both so close.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we've gotten a an endorsement on Twitter for you doing Trader Joe's ASMR. So I think it's time for you to do that or something else to vamp.
Green Goddess Dip. Crispy vegetable pouches. Green... olive.
You should be like
medley,
running your finger along the like edge of the fearless flyer.
Beef in croute bites. Olive and herb mixed nuts.
Okay.
Truffle hot sauce.
The next episode of Friends, season 2, episode 8, is called The One with the List. The One with the List. Okay. I'm going to say that, let's see. Well, they already kissed. So what could the list, this is probably something where the list like doesn't apply to anything. That's ongoing is probably like some tiny little thing, you know, like the East German laundry detergent was the example I always used. That's like not, but let's say the one with the list. Does Ross, because Ross hasn't broken up with Julie. They didn't get a cat, but he didn't break up with her, right?
We don't know. We don't know that yet.
I'm going to say Ross makes a pros and cons list comparing Julie and Rachel.
Yeah. I can't help but think about happy endings because, Penny makes a long list of all the issues that her like boyfriends have.
Yeah.
And right. Jane is always talking about like, well, she's always horny about pros and cons lists.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's, spreadsheets.
Yeah. So I'm going to say Ross weighs the pros and cons of taking up with Rach or sticking, I'm gonna say taken IN apostrophe or sticking with the gal that brung him.
Would it be, do you want a post-it note? Like, do you want a pen and paper for that?
Why?
Because I feel like you're always so delayed, like trying to type it into your
phone.
But
isn't that a bit now? Okay. Like, I feel like that's become a bit now.
Okay.
That I have to like spell it out. How I Met Your Mother. How I Met Your Mother season 2, episode 8 is called Atlantic City.
Okay. So I'm going to say that this is like a Barney escapade to Atlantic City. And I feel like it's going to throw a wrench in everyone's happy relationships orchestrated by Barney. So Barney's going to orchestrate like a real boys' weekend.
Okay. Barney plans an
Atlantic
City
Bacchanal.
Bacchanal is exactly what I was going to say. Bacchanal. And the dames are none too pleased. Does that work?
That works, yeah.
Okay. Well, what did you say when I was talking?
None too pleased.
No, that's what I said. Okay, we both said the same thing.
Well, no, I said fuming.
No, fuming. I like none too pleased better.
Okay.
Okay, so we remain tied at 3 points apiece this season.
Yeah.
Because and we'll probably both be wrong next week. But Yeah, we had a vote for doing like clues, you know, mm-hmm. like because last week we gave each other clues. But I'm not enough of an expert.
And I
couldn't have told you.
Yeah.
I could remember Swarley because Swarley is like a famous episode,
right?
For good reason. It's
yeah.
so funny. But yeah, so we'll revisit giving clues when we have them to give.
When we know, but, yeah. yeah. Yeah, I know generally what's to come, but yeah, I don't remember specific episodes.
Yeah. All right, well, you can find us on wherever you find podcasts, including you can also find a post for every episode at battleshippretension.com where you can comment if you want. You can email us at david@battleshippretention.com. Nope. Nope. You can email me at david@battleshippretention.com, but and listen to my other podcast, Battleship Retention, where I talk about movies. If you like, it's, you know, everyone else is finishing up their end of year coverage. The way we do things at Battleship Retention, we're just getting started. We will spend the next 2.5 months yeah. unpacking the year 2021 in cinema. So you can listen to all those episodes to come. You can email us, me and Natalie, at theonewhereimetyourmother@gmail.com. And of course, follow me on Twitter at Davey Pretension. Now, Natalie, remind the listeners where they can find you, where you'd like them to find you on the internet.
I wouldn't like them to find me. Okay. However, you should tell your friends, tell your mothers, rate, review, give us 5 stars if you like us. Let us know if there's something you don't like in a way that's polite and kind.
Yeah, be nice.
Be nice. And yeah, I think that's it. Until next time, see you at old Swarl's place.